live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad-free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching.
Drop it.
All right, welcome to the Young Turks Power Panel on Friday. We got a great power panel for you guys. Ben Mankiewicz, I feel like we've done a lot of old schools, but I haven't done the Young Turks together in a long time.
I don't think I've been on a power panel. I mean, my power is depleted.
Yeah, well, now it's all the way back up, full energy. You bought back in. All right, Cenk Uygur, John Iadarola, and Jules.
You got it. You nail it every time. I don't know why you worry.
All right. So, Jules, great to have you back. Actually, this is fun. Jules is actually going to present today, playing the role of Johnny Pie, Jules Pie.
I'll take it.
Okay, Jules, that's your first nickname. Not really. That's just, you know, it's a glancing blow. But if you keep coming back on here, we're going to have to start doing nicknames for you.
I'm happy to.
All right.
My name rhymes with a lot of stuff, so.
It does.
Brainstorm, get back to
me. Well, the first one, obviously, is Family Jules. So
yep, there you go.
It is what it is. He's part of the family. So, okay, Ben's uncomfortable. We're moving forward.
Yeah. Jules of the game.
Jules of the Nile. Like,
worse.
We're going to get really serious in a second. So we're having our last bit of fun here. I do want to tell you about a couple of things that are happening this weekend and today. I'm going to be on Reliable Sources on Sunday.
Ooh.
So check your local listings. That's on CNN with Brian Stelter talking about the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez race. And a great credit to CNN for saying, yeah, well, I mean, TYT saw it coming, and so let's bring them on and figure out why. So that's wonderful of them. We ask the mainstream media to do certain things every once in a while. If they do, great. Wait, great. That's what we wanted.
Are we getting credit? Because I didn't think that was possible.
I know. No.
And we predicted.
I think we talked about it on Old School the other night a little bit. By the way, tyt.com/join to get the best show on the planet, which is Old School. Young Turks is number two, but a close number two. and Damage Report is like 7, but moving on up. It was 9, so it's really rising.
I don't think Cenk has watched it. I don't think he has.
Anyway, that's John's show on YouTube TV. So tyt.com/join to get all those shows. We're the home of progressives. And then one more fun thing for you guys. You need to panic because I accidentally said that everything in the store was 35% off. So we have now made everything in the store 35% off. But it is only, it might only be today. I have to double check on this. But
so why don't you just say something else? Then that'll be what it is.
I know, right? ShopTYT.com, time to panic.
Well, I love that the store is like literally up to the whim of what you say. Like all of those. Like you always see the commercials for like Crazy Joe's mattress warehouse or something. They're not actually crazy, but in this case, it is Crazy Joe's t-shirt.
That's right. But you got to use the promo code FINALFLASH, and it is final. We're not going to do this again. So Final Flash, that's a ridiculous 35% off. I didn't mean to say it. I never authorized this. Okay. Anyway, you got Impeach there. All right. People seem to like that the hair on that one. This is one of the top three that I get comments on. Hmm. Ben is wearing one of the other. Top four at this point. Yeah, Covfefe.
Still know what it means?
Yep. And so check it out, everybody. And you got this great hat. John, this is for members, though.
Do you not, is that not one of ours?
No.
No. No. No. I just stuff. And
Jules
really
is wearing
about
our, I made this. Jules is wearing our maroon button down. Yeah. The Young Turks maroon button down.
It's a relaxed fit, but classy.
Right. And Young Turks roll relaxed and classy, although not always relaxed. Okay. Speaking of which, now time to get serious because we've got updates on the shooting. So Jules, take it away.
Yeah, so updates on the tragic shooting from yesterday that killed 5 people at the Capitol Gazette in Maryland. New details that the assailant, Jared Ramos, used to be a federal employee with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but was let go in 2014 for, quote, security sustainability concerns. And records show that he wasn't allowed to return to his building for security reasons. His motive has not yet been confirmed. And here we have some sketches of him in the courtroom. He was in court today and his bond was denied, so he'll be detained until his court date. His motive has also not yet been confirmed, but it appears he had filed a defamation lawsuit against the paper for reporting on his harassment of a woman and subsequent criminal harassment charge in 2011, for which he was placed on 18 months of supervised probation. And in spite of the charge, police say that the weapon he used, a pump-action shotgun, was purchased legally. So, I mean, that's, again, we have to change the gun laws in this country. Some more small details on the shooting, including that Ramos barred the exit doors. And according to the county police chief, he, quote, was there to kill as many people as he could kill. Additionally, it was reported yesterday that he damaged his fingertips and did not carry ID to avoid identification. But police were able to identify him in a few hours based on facial recognition software, which, I mean, I hope it really hurt for him to burn his fingers and you know, try to do that because it didn't work. Authorities are still investigating his background and the crime scene, and we'll update as more details come up.
As soon as I hear the facial recognition thing, I think, oh, that's good. And then I think, I guess they should have something like that.
Yeah. No,
the one other thing I want to say really quick is that he had been harassing this female journalist. She reported him, said that she thought he would become a mass shooter at some point, and then he legally buys a shotgun. So yeah. I just want you to bear that in mind in the future when you hear people say, oh, well, they were legally obtained guns, so we don't need any gun control. Yes, they are legally obtained after there is significant fears that you are going to murder a bunch of people. So
I mean, he literally
that's what's legal in this country.
He had a criminal charge.
Yeah.
It seems like someone who's stalking and harassing a woman should not be able to buy a gun. That seems like a terrible idea, but here we are.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in a country littered with terrible ideas, mainly from the right wing. So yesterday, I was obviously furious about the shooting, and I guess people want people to be calm about shootings, and no, I'm not going to be calm about it. I partly blame Donald Trump. We were very clear in the video that at the time we didn't know the motives of the shooter, but that there were a couple of issues that Trump, I think, was responsible for. One is he has done nothing about the nonstop massacres in this country. Constantly talks about it. He alone can protect you. He was supposed to be the big tough guy that brought you security. Where is it? Where's the security? Nowhere. The massacres have not abated at all under Trump. Now, some people online are like, yeah, but I mean, look, because we're used to massacres in America. Other presidents had massacres too. That's right. And that's why we should stop it with the frickin' guns in every single person's hand. But you don't want to do that, and Trump doesn't want to do that. So Trump said he was going to be a tough guy. He was going to hold the NRA accountable. Did he? No, nothing. He did nothing. So you've got two choices. One, he is a coward and corrupt and serves the NRA because they pay him to. Or he's totally incompetent and is never, ever going to be able to keep you safe. Does it look like I'm apologizing? No, I am not. I won't back down 1%. Yeah, Trump said he would keep people safe. No, he did not. And he does it because he gets paid by the NRA. So let me give you facts. NRA spending the 2016 election cycle, graphic 16 through 18 here, was $54 million. $54 million, almost all of it going to Republicans. The amount they spent directly on Trump was $30.3 million. Wow. Well, for that $30 million bribe, they get gun laws that say you can commit any massacre you like, nobody's ever going to do anything about it. We're not going to ban the bump stocks. We're not going to ban assault weapons. We're not going to do federal background checks because Donald Trump is corrupt and has already been bribed, so he's not going to do anything.
You know,
and finally, one more thing, sure. Ben, one more stat. NRA spending in the past 15 years on bribing politicians. These are legal bribes. But they are bribes. Bill Moyers makes a great point. If you go up to a plate right before you're going to swing, you go to the Empire, oh, here's a couple of thousand dollars. No, he's an honorable gentleman. He won't. It's not a bribe. I'm just talking to him.
I just think he should continue to be an umpire.
Yes, and I like the way he's calling balls and strikes. Right. So that's why I gave him the money, right? Yeah. No, that's a bribe. And when you give a politician a campaign donation or do independent expenditures, those are bribes. That's what they are. Everybody knows it. So how much did they do in the last 15 years? $132 million worth of legalized bribes from the NRA to scummy politicians like Donald Trump. And that's why the massacres continue, including this one.
So, you know, you and I occasionally have arguments as strong, but we disagree about the nature of calling all of those donations bribes, although I would love to get money out of politics as you would. Because I sometimes have a tough time believing that a politician would risk his political future because he got $9,500 from the telecommunications industry in a campaign where he raised $2 million, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you could argue that he would, but I I think it's too low a number that you could, it's certainly not provable, it wouldn't hold up in court, I don't think, right? $30.3 million is a tough, it's a tough sell that doesn't influence your policy.
Yeah, it definitely influences.
Also, I mean, just going by those numbers, okay, so you can take a look at that $132 million and say, oh my God, this is a lobby that spends a lot of money, although, of course, other industries spend far more. But focusing on the NRA, $132 million over 15 years, was it? Mm-hmm. That's a good number of presidential elections. 50 million of it, more than one third of everything they've spent in 15 years was on this cycle, predominantly on Donald Trump. They really thought they could get something good out of him.
They did. They got nonstop massacres with nothing to check them. And remember, those are helpful to the NRA and to gun manufacturers, not just because, hey, people bought a gun and they used it, good for sales, but because it sends a panic across the country, which leads to further gun sales. Well, every massacre leads to a spike in gun sales. And you have to understand something. This is like, the people on TV sometimes drive me crazy. They're like, oh, it sounds like a bit of a conspiracy theory that they'd want to make a profit. Yeah, unfortunately, their line of business makes a profit from creating something that kills things. And those things include human beings. And the more human beings that are killed, the higher their profits. So we've created an incentive for massacres. And we've then told our politician, go ahead and take all their bribes and don't do anything about it. So don't get surprised. And is it the right wing's fault? Yes, absolutely, completely. And then let me be further clear about this. They say, I criticized Donald Trump yesterday for attacking the media, and then the newspaper gets attacked and five people die. So this guy seems to have a previous beef with this particular newspaper, as Jules pointed out. Mm-hmm. Did he snap because, now he died, been going on for 7 years.
7 years, yeah.
Did he then hear Trump saying that the press is the enemy of the people and that's what put him over the top? I don't know. I'll grant you that speculation. But am I saying that has nothing to do with it? Well, you have no evidence that has nothing to do with it. And it doesn't help when the president of the United States keeps telling people they are the enemy of the people. What do you do with the enemy? Especially if you have a gun, what do you do with the enemy? Okay, so yes, this is Trump's fault, and no, I will not back down, not even 1% from that statement.
You know, and the only hesitation that I have in wading into this argument is that it gives ammunition, poor choice of words, to the people on the other side who are gonna argue that we can never prove this point, right? We can never prove the cause and effect. I don't need to prove the cause and effect because the president of the United States should never, under any circumstances, call the press the enemy of the people. It was horrendous and a gargantuan failure and abdication of responsibility before anything happened. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm sure there will be more and we'll not be able to prove those either. But the idea that the president of the United States thinks it's okay, not just okay, is emboldened to do it, likes doing it, knows that it fires up his people when you call the press, people who are interested in seeking out the truth. Some do it better than others, but that's the goal, that you call them the enemy of the people. That is what, that's what dictators do. That's what fascist right-wing administrations do and right-wing governments have done and communist left-wing governments have done for generations.
Well, in addition to inciting this violence and saying that the press are the enemy of the people, Trump also spoke today about the shooting during a speech about his tax bill. We have a clip of that.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Do we?
All right, I'm pretty sure we do. What video are we calling for there?
The people in this clip look exactly like us.
Well, I do have Trump on my shirt a little bit, right?
Journalists, like all Americans, should be free from the fear of being violently attacked while doing their job. My government will not rest until we have done everything in our power to reduce violent crime and to protect innocent life.
No, you have rested.
What do they do?
Yeah. There was, how many massacres have there been? Parkland, Vegas, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on.
Southern Springs.
Okay, and so you seem like you're resting a lot. You've played a lot of golf since those massacres, and you've done nothing, nothing to address it. Nothing. So spare me your thoughts and prayers, and we're going to work around the clock. No, you're going to work around the clock getting more money from the NRA, you corrupt swamp creature, you thug. You know, you're going around calling people any of the people. Now you pretend to you care about journalists. You don't care about journalists. This guy, when Maxine Waters said, "Hey, if you see people in restaurants, etc., you know, call them out," right? And so they pretended that she said, "Hit them," which she never said.
Attack
them, which she never said.
She never called for violence or anything approaching violence.
And Trump threatened her over it.
That's right. So then Trump tweets, "Watch out what you wish for, Max." Okay. Now, could you imagine if Obama had said to a Republican politician, female Republican politician, "Watch out what you wish for, you just might get it," right? In reference to violence. Do you think that Fox News might have called him a thug? Do you think they might have called him a thug? And so this guy aids and abets violence nonstop. He did it during the campaign in all of his rallies. Throw him out, punch him in the face, assault him. I'll pay your legal bills. So spare me your thoughts and prayers. You're a monster. You aid and abet all of this.
Well, look, what's worse is that it works. These calls for violence tend to work. I mean, Maxine Waters had to cancel a bunch of events because she was threatened. She released a statement. She said, "As the president has continued to lie and falsely claim that I encouraged people to assault his supporters while also offering a veiled threat that I should be careful, even more individuals are leaving threatening messages and sending hostile mail to my office." She has canceled two events, one in Texas, one in Alabama, and she's received threats of shooting, lynching, and serious bodily harm. I mean, she's a sitting congresswoman. Like, people are threatening to kill her, to lynch her. It's one of the most horrifying. I mean, has this happened before?
Well, I think we should, I mean, obviously he's responsible for what he said about Maxine Waters. He knows exactly what he's saying. There's a reason he obsesses over her.
It's not
she's not a random congresswoman.
That's right.
There's something about her for some reason that he focuses on. She had previously, I apologize if you were going to get to this. She had previously received death threats that resulted in charges of a San Pedro man back in the end of last year. Maybe he didn't know about that. Maybe he did. Maybe he doesn't care. Either way. But in terms of this violent rhetoric.
Just don't be coy. I mean, He is, you know, look, they picked immigration for a reason. They separated those kids for a reason. They see polls. They saw, you know, things got a little close last month. Now Democrats back up 6-7 points. They see where he's headed. And they thought, we need our base fired up. They picked immigration, and now he's going out there and mentioning that, oh, please, please keep Maxine Waters, who he threatened, lied about first, turned into someone who had suggested she'd had violent rhetoric, leading to a story I know we'll get to Sean Hannity actually blaming her for the attack at the Capitol Gazette. And now he says that the focus of the Democratic Party is Maxine Waters, right? Interesting that he would choose her, and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, it reflects what is, you know, I think it's blatant. It's not subtle. It is misogyny and racism, and they dovetail perfectly with Maxine Waters.
And I just want to briefly mention, in terms of the double standard for their interpretation of rhetoric and what counts as violent. So she said to call out government officials, and that has been pitched every single day by Sean Hannity and by all the others as an explicit call to violence. Yesterday, Sean King and I got into a beef with Dana Loesch of the NRA on Twitter when Sean King found a video of her saying that she loves to see journalists get curb stomped and they're the rat bastards of America. And she said that's being taken out of context. The video was out of context. So I responded with the literal words of her tweet, and she has yet to respond after previously responding several times. Weird that she ran away at that point. But think about that saying you want them to be curb stomped, a particular call in popular culture. Where do you know curb stomping from?
American History X.
History X. That is the only place most people know of. That's not a random thing that she chose there. She knows the racial connotations there. She chooses to use it. And that is not the only time that she herself has threatened journalists with videos saying their time is up, we're coming for you, and all of that. And so when it comes to both these the politicians and the media, there's the violent rhetoric, inevitably violence flows. We can't necessarily connect the two, but we do see the connection, and we know how the right covers for them after the fact. There's no soul searching. There's no Dana Loesch saying, you know, I really chose my words poorly. I won't do that in the future. Trump isn't saying, I won't call them the enemy of the people in the future. None of that is going on, which means that while they may not want to be held responsible for the actions that have already taken place, they are condoning future actions.
I think when you say you want people to be curb stomped, some journalists who are the worst, basically that was, I'm paraphrasing.
But rat bastards of the earth.
Rat bastards of the earth, that counts as the worst, yeah. Rat bastards would be pretty low. So her Twitter handle is, make of this what you will. Nationally syndicated host, best-selling author, Second Amendment advocate, born for the storm. Like, I don't know. I don't use the phrase storm. I find it interesting.
Would she be at the front of the storm?
It seems like she might be that the storm front, the front of the storm would be what she might be.
Brief piece of trivia.
Sure.
TYT trivia. I apologize. So you can't see it, but you're on her Twitter page, and her header photo, what is it? It's a protest sign, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
says what? It says
Dana Loesch hates ice cream.
Yeah. Do you know who's holding up that sign?
No.
Ricky Strum.
Is that right?
I swear to God. Anyway, I apologize for derailing the conversation, but Dana Loesch has you can't see him there, but it's his sign from a protest.
The reason why I don't believe that is because I don't think Ricky would spell her name correctly.
So Ricky is the host of TYT Sports, which you should check out either on our app, tyt.com/app, or on youtube.com/tytsports.
Anyway,
so now I'm back to Donald Trump keeping us safe. I thought the Muslim ban was going to keep us safe, but yet there's massacre after massacre. I thought that his getting tough on the border, in which he referenced, I'm going to go after the immigrants. The immigrants are causing the problems. Remember the last time an immigrant crossed the border and then massacred people?
Yeah, I don't.
Oh, right, I don't. I don't.
Can I tell you a stat that I found amazing? I apologize if you said it on the show yesterday. In that shooting at the Gazette, a white man killed more people in that act than all of the Americans who've been killed by people crossing over from the countries on the Muslim ban list in the entirety of the time.
Yeah, and that's
I don't mean yesterday, I mean for all time.
And that's not to say that there's something wrong with white people. I don't know if you can tell, John is white. Yeah. Okay,
he just said I've tried to change, but
so white.
Right, now what it does say, okay, because you know the right wing are snowflakes, and so the minute you even say the word white, reverse racism, I need a safe space. No, we're pointing out your stupidity, that you say, oh, the Muslims, they're the real problems. Is it the Muslims? No, it doesn't look like it's the Muslims. One white guy alone killed more than everyone on the Muslim ban list. Anybody who'd ever come from any of those countries combined. We're not saying it's white people's fault. We're just asking you not to be stupid and say it's Muslim people's fault or Latinos' fault. That's demagoguery. Yes, that's racism and bigotry. When in reality, we don't have an ethnic problem in this country. We have a gun problem in this country.
As we go to break, I just think before we just, we are very quick to call it a Muslim ban, but it also includes certain government officials from Venezuela.
Oh, well, I guess that makes it much better.
Yeah. Also North Korea. Okay. Awkward.
Country you're not allowed to come from.
Right. Oh, there we pulled it up. You. That's Ricky's hand there. Yeah. There are some TYT sports fans right now going, that is his hand. I recognize it.
Okay. That picture must have been taken some time ago because he's standing.
Okay. He broke
his foot. He had a horrific leg injury.
Yeah, he broke his foot. That's why we're making fun of him.
Yeah, this is what sports do to people.
Okay. Anyway, all right, guys, we are going to take a break. We will talk about Hannity attacking Maxine Waters when we return, and then people attacking us. So interesting. Buckle up. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and you get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours ad free. Do it now. Drop it. All right, a whole new power panel for you guys. Ben Magwitz, Cenk Uygur, Kim Horcher from Nerd Alert, everybody. Anna Kasparian from everything, including hashtag no filter, because you're on all the shows.
Oh, yeah.
Anna's shirt resist, also part of this flash sale on shoptyt.com, 35% off. You got to use the promo code FINALFLASH. So just one day, just, hey, Nerd Alert shirt is also on shoptyt.com.
Also available on shoptyt.com.
That's right. And Impeach and Covfefe. So man, we are shopped up today.
Till the end of the day tomorrow.
That's right, end of the day tomorrow, 35% off everything. Promo code is Final Flash, so don't miss it. We've got a lot of stories, so Anna, I'm just going to kick it right over to you.
All right, I love it. Now, we're going to do something a little different in the show today, the second hour at least. We have had a week full of some good news, a lot of bad news. There's some devastating news in this hour as well. But I feel like every time I need help, mental well-being help, I guess, I go to my dog. And luckily today, we found a viral dog video to share with you throughout the show in moments where I feel like we need a little bit of mental health. So here's the video. Let me give you a little bit of a lead in. This is a video that went viral. The municipal police of Madrid apparently have this awesome Cocker Spaniel who knows how to do CPR on humans. Now, what you're about to see is the dog demonstrating CPR. He's not actually doing CPR, so he can't save humans who desperately need that life-saving procedure done. But nonetheless, Pancho is very talented, and you're about to see why. Take a look. Come on! Dogs are the best. Like, dogs are better than humans. Let's just keep it real.
Okay,
they are. Overall, they're better than humans.
That guy looked dead.
He was pretending to be.
Yeah, well, you could tell when he moved his arm.
Yeah.
This is what's wrong with America.
No.
People like Anna who say that dogs are better than humans, and people believe it. They do, and they treat dogs better than humans.
That's the problem with America? You're right. You nailed it. Well done. Yeah. Crystallized our problem right there.
Well, look, I don't want to get too dark because this is a fun story. But we did a story on TYT Investigates where immigration officials literally treat dogs better than humans.
Okay, but hold.
That's not the dog's fault, dude.
No, I know. I'm not hating on the dog. I'm saying it's what's wrong with the country. I'm not blaming
the
dogs of America. I'm blaming the humans of America.
Right. That only buttresses Anna's point.
That's what I'm saying. By the way, I have no intention or desire to treat humans worse than I treat dogs, okay? But what I'm trying to say is dogs provide like this love and loyalty and happiness. They're innocent. You know, they don't have the ability to destroy your life like humans do. So that's why I say dogs are better than humans. But of course, I wouldn't treat humans poorly or treat dogs better than
humans. Of course,
you don't have to explain that. I want to clarify that because I think that's the sense that you got when I made that statement.
Okay. Do you follow the Dodo on Twitter?
I don't.
Animal account?
Do today, the Dodo, it's the greatest animal account ever. So, I mean, anytime you feel like you go get your dog and you watch a couple of videos and every single one of them, you'll be like, oh. They're great. And there's not, it's like, you know, it's like 71% dogs, but they got cats, mm-hmm. they got birds. Mm-hmm. That bird, this woman nursed a bird back, let it go in the wild. Bird comes back every single day, hangs out with her, flies back every day, mm-hmm. just hangs out.
Well, he's a bird. He doesn't have anything better to do.
He can fly. He can fly anywhere he wants.
Right.
For free.
So he is in reality a bomb sniffing dog. Mm-hmm. So he does not save people's lives for a living. Could well, he actually do it?
Yes, he does save people's lives for a living.
Well, I guess he does, but not through CPR. Okay. has a bomb sniffing dog ever really caught a bomb? Well, that's a separate story.
I'm pretty sure that that's happened, yes.
If it has, probably three times in human history.
You're an idiot sometimes. Of course they do.
There's all these people walking around with bombs, and we caught them and we never brag about it. Okay, anyway, we digress.
Those bomb sniffing dogs.
The story is taking a turn that I've not
I am fairly certain that you would find plenty of soldiers and Marines who've been in combat in Afghanistan and Iraq
okay.
with dogs that are triggered to smell explosives that smelled explosives.
Yeah, but those dogs are easily triggered. Okay, they're little snowflakes. Fine, in a combat zone, yes, they find more bombs. Agreed. I'm talking about like train stations, et cetera, where they go sniff and then they catch some poor guy that didn't do anything wrong or had some pot on him or whatever and ruin his life. That's what dogs do. I'm kidding, I like dogs.
This place and the people who work here have this incredible ability to turn almost anything into a topic of debate. It's kind of amazing. And my intentions with that story was to do the exact opposite. But nonetheless, sweet story, sweet video that I will turn to in moments of distress. Now with that said, moments of distress. All right.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Police brutality stories continue to trickle in, and one story that really caught my attention luckily did not lead to the death of anyone, but it did feature a police officer who's now being investigated for using excessive force on a man who seemed to be listening to him and complying with all his demands. Now, this story takes place in Pennsylvania. Apparently, a neighbor recorded a Lancaster police officer using a stun gun on a 27-year-old man named Sean Williams. Williams had been accused of using a baseball bat to assault someone, but the people interviewed at the scene said they never saw the bat and police never recovered one.
So in other words, he didn't.
Yeah, so look, those are the details we have of why the cops were there in the first place. But regardless of why the cops were there, what you're about to see should infuriate you because you're about to witness a man complying with the cops and then, you know, dealing with the kind of treatment that he did. So it's difficult to watch, but with that said, take a look.
That's it, bro.
Legs out. Straight out.
Oh, come on, bro.
Oh, he's not listening.
You're really gonna tase him? He was sitting down, though, bro.
No, stop.
On your stomach. On your stomach. On your stomach. On your stomach. Arms out like an airplane.
Okay. Jesus. So, I don't know if everyone can hear it clearly, but there's a female officer who's not on camera, and I keep hearing straight out and crossed.
She's right. She said,
what is she
the guy said
for?
Straight out, which he clearly meant now in hindsight, what he could have said, don't bend your knees. He meant put them out, and then she wanted them out and crossed. But he had them out sort of just on the ground. Obviously, I would say unthreatening. And then he crossed them in answer to her command.
And that was when the male cop used the taser. But look, I'm going to be honest. If I were in his situation, I wouldn't know exactly what the cops want. And honestly, I would also be terrified because you know one wrong move and you could lose your life from other videos that we've seen. So he didn't look. I think the most important thing is he wasn't in any type of position that posed a threat to anyone. His back was turned to that male cop. He was sitting on the curb. You can clearly see his arms. I feel like there was really no need to tase him at that point. But no, the police department is standing by.
And of course there was no need to tase him. Obviously there's no need to. I get it. They wanted his legs spread out. If your legs, I'm guessing now, but I presume that if your legs are bent and the bottoms of your feet are on the ground, you can spring up very quickly. If your legs are extended out, getting up is going to take a longer time. So that's why he was asking. But then you have to say, hey, don't bend your knees. Legs straight out. Yell it. Whatever. But he wanted to tase it. The second time that he said legs straight out, and the guy just clearly didn't seem to get it. He said, all right, you're going to get tased. You see him reach in and take out the taser. Like he was like ready. So that meant the next time you don't obey me, which came about with the confusing order from the female officer, he went ahead and tased him. It's ridiculous. Those guys aren't fit to be cops. They should be fired. They don't go to jail, but they got no business having guns.
That was confusing. I had no idea that they meant stick out your legs and cross them. I mean, none of us are experts at listening to the cops when we're under arrest for having a bat that we didn't have. And what they said in here is that they were using the taser as a preventative measure.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Let me give you the statement from the Lancaster PD from Pennsylvania. The statement that they gave to the press was, this is done as a measure of control to ensure that if someone is going to flee or offer physical resistance, they will have to move their legs under them to do so. Noncompliance is often a precursor to someone that is preparing to flee or fight with officers.
Okay, so I'm correct. I hadn't even read that yet. But so if your legs are out like this, you got to go like this first to get up. If your legs are like this, you can just spring straight up. And that's what they're trying to avoid. So make that effing clear before you use your taser.
Yeah. Okay, so I have a harsh review of this. And you guys have been harsh, but not enough in my opinion. So the cops, now we've seen this in a lot of tapes, play Simon Says with these guys. And they're toying with people's lives. And how the hell is he supposed to know? I assume cross your legs meant when she said it, cross your legs like this, like when you in that
like in
bent position that he was in, right? So they can't wait to use the taser.
It would appear that I don't know that they. We have this evidence. This guy seemed eager to use the taser.
And look, you could say, look, there's hundreds of thousands of cops across the country. And so the dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of videos we've seen where the cops can't wait to use their weapons is an anomaly, and most of them don't. But then all the other cops defend them. But like Anna said, I was terrified they were going to murder him because it reminded me of the story from Mesa, Arizona, of the guy crawling in the hallway of the hotel room, and they keep giving him confusing instructions, and he's in a panic, and he's trying to comply, and it's super obvious he's trying to comply. In that case, it was a white guy, and then he just murdered him. For following.
And he was sobbing.
Yeah, the guy's sobbing, clearly not a threat, nowhere near a threat, and a guy shot him and killed him, right? And of course, got away with it. Oh, they're just bad apples. If they're bad apples, why aren't they in prison, right? No, because you protect them, because you. And you encourage him to use too much violence. And that's the problem with the training that I keep talking about. In this case, anybody watching that video, if you're an honest person, If you're a douche right winger, you're like, got him. I get it. You're irredeemable, right? But if you're an honest person, did he seem like a threat to you? Really? Like, did it appear that he was trying to not listen to the cops or listen to the cops? Anybody looking at that tape looks like he's like, okay, I'm trying to extend my legs. Then she says, cross them. He goes to try to cross them, and he tases him anyway.
Also, if
that's not a threat, it's not a threat. And by the way, this preventative measure, that's another quote, the one that Kim referenced, that the cops used. That means,
hey, we didn't shoot him.
I'm going to assault you before you do anything. I'm going to prevent you doing something that you didn't yet do, and I'm going to tase you before you do it.
I think implicit in it also, you're right, is also I didn't shoot you. It's prevented. I prevented myself from shooting you.
Yeah, well, congratulations. I didn't murder you.
You know, look, nobody would be seeing this video if that cop had acted like an ass and told him to, or even kicked his leg forward. Right? We wouldn't be doing this story. Like, mm-hmm. Kicked out the heel of the leg, spread it out, use the phrase, knees straight. Mm-hmm. That's it. That would have done it, right? That's really what you wanted, but you didn't have the skills to do it. So, yeah, of course this guy was eager to, and of course those directions were confusing. That seems blatantly obvious that this guy wasn't a threat. And it's, by the way, then the other thing that is, I think, always relevant here is, okay, I suppose the attitude that the cop is going to portray, that the cop is going to say, and what the department seems to be backing up, is that he wasn't totally in it. He was being like, fine, you're going to make me sit down now. Now you're going to make me sit here and spread my legs. I don't quite know what you mean. Mm-hmm. He was not yes-siring it to the utmost extent, right? He was not a 150% complier. He was at 84% and he was pissed, right? Doesn't matter. He's not a threat. So you don't get to win this. Your win is he did what you said. You make sure he's not violent. If you're going to arrest him, you cuff him, you put him in the car, and you take him to the station, and the process begins. And that's it. You don't get to tase somebody because they pissed you off.
So there was a story that I believe it made it to the show. Maybe we didn't get to it because we ran out of time. But there was a story about a woman in North Carolina who got arrested at a public pool because she was harassing two boys, black boys, that she didn't want there. She kept telling them, you don't belong here. And so they're kids. They're two black boys. One of them starts filming as she's forcing them out, like following them to the exit, and she assaults them. On three different occasions, you see the phone fall to the ground, right? And I guess at one point, she strikes one of the kids in the face, and cops are called. When the cops showed up, she started physically assaulting the cops, apparently bit one of the cops in the ear, and the cops, you know, arrest her. She gets her mugshot taken and everything. I want everyone to be treated
that way.
Right? I get it. She was incredibly combative. She was incredibly difficult to deal with. But I would not want anyone to pull a gun on her. I would not want anyone to use excessive force on her. Arrest her, book her, let the justice system deal with her.
Jared Ramos didn't get tased. He was under the desk with a gun.
Yeah, that's the guy who did the shooting in Baltimore just now. Look, now let me be less harsh. It's not the particular cop. And a lot of people disagree with me when I say that. But they trained him to be overwhelming force, don't take any risks. Well, if you're in a shootout like in the movie Heat with a bunch of bank robbers with automatic weapons, then you use overwhelming force. But if a guy is sitting down and trying to comply with the orders, don't use overwhelming force. But what do they train him to do? Unless it's a rich white woman, make sure that you beat the crap out of him or tase him or shoot him. Don't take any chances because your life is more important than their life.
And also, and they're protected. You know, I mean, this needs to be, again, as always, a change in the law because the issue isn't so much that DAs won't prosecute because we see what happens frequently when DAs prosecute, they get acquitted. Because the laws are written in such a way where if you go, my life was threatened. And the law says if the cop feels like his life was threatened, well, then lethal force is okay. So if that law has changed to where that is no longer the only defense, well, then we'd have a different set of circumstances. And I am, you know, probably, I don't know whether I'm different than anybody else on this panel. I am enormously sympathetic to police officers in general. It is an unbelievably stressful and difficult job. And it's why they ought to get paid more and they ought to get trained better.
Yeah.
And as a result, when good cops, of which there are many, see this, to Cenk's point earlier, they ought to say, that guy's a bad police officer, and that guy makes my job harder.
Instead, what do they do? And so this injustice to this guy has already happened, okay? But the injustice continues. They arrested him. What? Oh, because they went to go investigate the guy swinging the bat and hitting people. That's a really serious crime. So I'm glad. Oh no, they didn't arrest him on that because there was no bat. They arrested him for public drunkenness. You know what that is? Cover my ass. I tased him. He was the wrong guy and he wasn't doing anything wrong. But I'll add insult to injury, literally in this case, by arresting him for public drunkenness so that I'm not embarrassed.
By the way, that to me makes it worse. If this guy is drunk,
yeah,
and you know he's drunk, well, then he's going to have a difficult time following your commands.
Yeah.
And it also means he's less likely to be a threat to me.
And yeah. Let me ask you guys, no matter who you are, again, sometimes I talk to the right wing because they, I don't know if anything ever gets through their head, but have you ever been drunk in public? I have. My guess is all of you have, right?
Jack's drunk right now.
and seriously, when you're going to bars, you're going to clubs, et cetera, you've been drunk in public. You think it's okay for a cop to go, okay, Simon says this, Simon says that, you didn't follow it, tase, right? No. And then you think that they charged him because they were really concerned right afterwards that he was intoxicated? No. You know it. Everybody knows it. They did it to cover their ass.
Yeah, what's a bigger crime here, tasing that guy or being drunk in public?
Come on.
I mean, a lot of people, unfortunately, in the country would say being drunk in public.
Well, yeah, here's
while
the deal.
Knowing right full well that they themselves have been drunk in public numerous times. And, yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing. It's the lack of empathy, the lack of understanding. And I just wish people would put themselves in that person's shoes and understand what it's like to go through something like that and not know clearly what the cops want you to do and then be met with that kind of, you know, physical force.
Pay them more, train them better. It's a frustrating story. I feel like I could use a shot of a little dog trying to give CPR to a
Me
person.
Too. Do we have a video of a dog?
That would help. CPR? And that's a random thing to ask for. But in this,
there
in this
you guys go again with the dogs.
In this type of situation. Poncho.
He's not that good. That'll never work.
He's not that good.
I feel like Jake and I are cat people.
I don't even know if Jake's a cat person.
I'm a person. I'm a well-known Literally. Humanist.
I have a okay. picture in my phone of you holding a kitten like a baby.
Okay.
Just,
so
little,
every once
there.
In a while, I try to hide that side.
Before
of
he dropped it off at the shelter.
Okay. Oh.
All right, we got to take a break, guys. We've got more stories for you. Including how, man, this is, wow. Taking the hate crimes legislation and then using it against minorities. Okay, we'll explain that when we come back. Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.